Good evening.
Has joined.
Excuse me. Our last class, we said that we might not have been finished with it. So if you want to continue with verse 272, please let me know. Otherwise, we'll go on to verse 273.
Am I the only one online?
Were you listening to music before I arrived?
Oh, no, no.
I think there are, I heard two voices, so I think there's at least two, maybe three of you. But nobody is indicating they want to stay with 272, so we'll go on to 273.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine with me. Thank you.
We'll start with the L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimu Uthilu Uthilu Urchimu Le'afta L'Shem Yude Bavate
Has joined.
Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Lahino Amadunai Lahino Elena Maseya Deno Kanane Elena Maseya Deno Kananehu. So we are in the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, section 20, from Parasha Vayera. This is part two of section 20. And it's Pasuk 273. Gafrit Vaish I to Ka Demaya Vesha Demitat Reke Min Shemaya Itahadu Dabda Unchat Al Sedom. Vavilecha yavaya tila mashkichin al yakara demarechom. The translation. Brimstone and fire refers to the waste of water and fire that have been drawn from the heavens, combined together, and released upon Sodom. Woe to the wicked who do not pay attention for the glory of their master. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. What is brimstone? Brimstone is an archaic term synonymous with sulfur. It evokes the acrid odor of sulfur dioxide given off by lightning.
Has joined.
Lightning was understood as divine punishment by many ancient religions. The association of sulfur with divine retribution is common in the Bible. It is the human difference. The Zohar definition demonstrates the difference between human wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Questions.
Has joined.
Thoughts. For those of you who have just arrived, and not, it isn't only one of you, we are studying verse 273.
Would you repeat your definition of brimstone? Because as they came on, you know, the recording identifies people and it blocked you out.
Okay. What is brimstone? Brimstone is an archaic term synonymous with sulfur. It evokes the acrid odor of sulfur dioxide that's given off by lightning strikes. lightning was understood as divine punishment by many ancient religions. The association of sulfur with divine retribution is common in the Bible. It is the human difference. The Zohar definition demonstrates the difference between human wisdom and heavenly wisdom. The real question or the real comment that this pasuk is describing is it needs to, the Torah is using terms that are being translated by brimstone and fire. And most of us really don't know what brimstone is. We know what fire is. But is electricity, lightning electricity? Is lightning fire? These translations seem to be coming from the generations of the Bible, that they've come down to us through human generations. Essentially saying the same thing. But the Zohar is explaining to us what is brimstone and fire. It's wastewater that is burning. It's wastewater that burns. Now, it could be that it burns when it touches something, meaning it's a chemical that's burning, which would be the idea of sulfur dioxide, or it could be that the water itself, whatever is mixed in the water, is burning, like you have certain chemical fires that are associated in our modern age with oil refineries.
Like phosphorus.
Phosphorus is a good also, thank you, Brandy. That
when it ignites when it hits air.
Exactly. So what is the meaning of brimstone is important to understand this verse, but also to realize how nobody is alive today who was present in Sodom. So we really don't know what happened. We have the effect because Sodom was located where the Dead Sea is today. And the Dead Sea is filled with salt. Where did the salt come from? And people who've been there will tell us that there's a lot of salt in the area. Well, the water went into the lake. And normally a lake is filled with water, but then it has exits from that. Or a lake just is in a low area of the land, and it fills up with water, and then as rains come, or as it evaporates, so we have the lake going through a process. But we don't know what took place. But we all have our ideas. The people of Sodom were horrible human beings. But the people of Sodom were influenced by the society that they were in. The people of Sodom were influenced by Nimrod. They weren't living with Nimrod. But they had had a war between the five kings of the area of Sodom and the four kings that were associated with Nimrod. So what did the war teach us? What is all of these things we need to put together to have an understanding of what the Torah teaches us? And there is a significant difference in how heaven views human activity and human beings justify their activity. And that, to me, is what this verse is all about.
I'd like to make a comment.
Please.
My comment is God was very merciful with Sodom and Gomorrah. In the fact, dealing with the petrochemical field that I dealt with, hydrogen sulfide, the second time you smell it, you're dead. So they didn't last very long. And the other thing is, most of our bodies are 80% water. So maybe that's where the lake came from.
And I'm thinking about how King Solomon said that, you know, things happen and happen again. And it makes me wonder if a nation that steals seed and has such a great deal of abortion and sexual immorality, and we definitely know that from our Shovavim studies, if fire and brimstone can come about again on a nation such as that.
Well, I wonder if not there's another asteroid headed this way. Supposedly, we're supposed to actually either know about it or feel it on November the 4th. So asteroids are made up of different sulfurous-type gases. So maybe we'll be feeling, God forbid, that we might be feeling fire and brimstone again.
And most people, if you ask them maybe 3 or 4 years ago that don't study Kabbalah, what is fire and brimstone, and they will tell you it's an atomic bomb.
Well, when an asteroid hits the Earth, at
it's
such
the
speed,
same thing.
It's like an atomic bomb, depending on size. Even a small one does a lot of damage.
I was thinking about October 31st, when you know so much about how the witches and other such sorceries goes on. If that isn't another sign that would come about before, I didn't know about the November 4th date that Randy's talking about. But I was thinking today how October 31st is when they come out, you know, and how many last year were putting purses and all on the president. And that date is just a few days before the date that Randy spoke about. It's just a comment.
Well, I'm familiar with what Randy is speaking about because of my studies in Kabbalah that lead me to various different rabbis. And there's a whole resource of something called Nibiru, which is a star that people see in the sky, and it's been determined that it's a planet, but it's not really recognized by any of the scientists.
But that's been around for quite a few years, hasn't it? I mean, I've heard almost every year. In fact, Brandy and I spoke about that years ago, and I said quite a few articles about it. Every year when the time came around, nothing ever happened.
Well, as I remember it, it was started to be spoken about, at least at my knowledge, was that we approached the year 2000 and the 2000, you know, computers were going to blow up and all the rest of the chaos. So, you know, we have to look at, we've had series of a lot of chaotic events in this world, and science is giving an explanation of climate change and a pandemic which occurs every so often because, you know, viruses change and they jump from animals to people and so forth. All of these quote-unquote scientific explanations. But when you study Kabbalah, you start to look and ask the question, everything comes from Hashem, but not in the sense that Hashem is a punishing, is giving punishment. Everything comes from a Hashem is a phrase that the Kabbalists use to describe cause and effect of human activity. So, you know, what we're saying, we're thinking, it all has impact. And we have to remember a couple of things. One, when the redemption took place from Egypt, 80% of the children of Israel died in the plague of darkness. And the explanation is that they did not want to leave their comfort zone. They didn't want to leave Egypt that they knew, that they'd grown up in, that they understood the laws of, that it was all straightforward. And rather than have their bodies found and discovered later, after the children of Israel did leave Egypt, and these bodies, the people wouldn't have left, they would have been killed then. They had them die in the plague of darkness, which is another level of understanding of the plague of darkness. Because why did they die? They could see. As children of Israel, they could see. There was light for them. But they chose to stay in their comfort zone. And that's one of the things that we all have to realize. And all of the rabbis, as the Zohar has told us, and I have taught you, the rabbis of our generation, the root of their soul is Erev Rav. It doesn't mean that they are bad people. It means that they are in the process of tikkun just like everybody else. And their tikkun has to do with choosing to become a rabbi to receive the accolades and the honor of being called rabbi, of people looking up to them, of going to them for answers. But their answers are not necessarily connected to a connection to Hashem. Their answers come from their own egos, and it misleads people. So that's one aspect that we have to realize as we look at our modern world. And the second aspect that we need to understand when we talk about the Dead Sea, we don't know what's there. We don't know what happened with Sodom. And Randy said, in her opinion, that Hashem is merciful. But Hashem is always merciful. The fact that they lost their lives and lost everything else they obviously had time to do teshuvah. They chose not to be part of Nimrod and his goal of the Tower of Babel. They lived apart. But did they live in the land of Israel? Is the Dead Sea part of the land of Israel? Well, yes, it is today. But was it then? Or was it this place where people were disconnecting from Hashem and choosing physical pleasures, hurting other people? For some people, that's a physical pleasure. We've all known people who like to argue just to argue. And if you ever talk to people who are accused of murder and have been convicted of murder, you ask them what happened when the gun went off, using that as an example, and their answer is that it was a rush. It was better than drugs, because you get a lot of light when you, God forbid, take a human life. It also means you don't have the vessel to handle it, and you get a chaotic experience. But at that moment, that rush
has joined.
We need to understand all of that. Would anybody like to make any other comments or questions about what is brimstone and fire, and why do we need to even know what it is?
Well, you know, I was thinking, I always wondered about Lot's wife. When they were told not to look back, and she looked back, and so said she became a pillar of salt. Well, when you do a quick evaporation of salt, you take all the water out. And what's left is water. So we have sodium and potassium in our bodies, which are salts. And so I think what happened to her was a quick evaporation, and all it left was the salt.
Brandy, you may be right. You may be right, but I want to look at it from a different perspective. We all have had questions about Lot's wife. She's told not to look back, and she looks back, and she becomes a pillar of salt. And the religious explanation from the Talmud is she saw the Shekhinah. But in Kabbalah, we are very clear. We've learned Hashem does things mida keneged mida, measure for measure. The measure, the second measure, is becoming salt. What was the action that caused her to become salt? Looking around, turning around to look after her daughters, her children. You're telling me that Hashem is giving her an effect of disobeying his order because she loved her children? Can we accept that? That's not like our understanding of Hashem, because Hashem is good. So what was her measure for measure effect? What did she do? Looking at the Shekhinah, it's too much light for the vessel. Okay. And that may very well lead into what Brandy said. The physical parts of her, the water in her body boiled and blew out, and what was left was the salt. That could be. But But does it really tell us what she did? I don't think so. But what is salt? Salt is necessary for life. Salt is right column energy. And as Brandy said, there's potassium salt, and there's
sodium
salts, and there's about 700 other different forms of salt, according to modern science. Because salt is a term that literally talks about a combination of materials without water, without Torah. Because the code word water means Torah. But it's necessary for life. But it has to have water. It has to have Torah to have life. And where did Mrs. Lot live? And who is Lot? Lot is the evil inclination of the soul that's going through the tikkun. And what is the feminine aspect of an evil inclination? We actually learn that in Kabbalah, we learn that's LL. And that she is the stronger of the two. The Nahash, the snake, is LL. Satan rides on the snake because she is the stronger. And I don't know what I'm talking about right now. I don't know where these thoughts are coming from or where I'm going with them. But it gives me deeper levels of understanding of what Mrs. Lot did. What was her action? And it applies to our generation because truthfully, people have not changed. We make the same mistakes lifetime after lifetime. And it's only through the study of Torah that we make these small little elevations, little growths of change. Would anybody else like to comment? We're almost out of time.
I would say the story of Midrash as to the action she did, but almost hate to even say it, even against someone, you know, even against a Bible character. You know, the idea of going to bar salt because she was going to have visitors in her home, which were the angels, you know, so... But that's Midrash. At least I remember it as Midrash.
It is Midrash. But that doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right. But I'm getting to where I don't even like talking about a Bible character, even if it ends up being a negative against a Bible character. So...
I believe some other people to say some things.
I have a question. Why
Go ahead,
was brimstone, why was brimstone needed there was fire? Wouldn't fire have done the same destruction?
An excellent question. Fire and brimstone implies something more than just fire, and the answer would be that it wouldn't have been destroyed. It wouldn't have become the Dead Sea. It wasn't sufficient just to destroy things with fire. It needed that brimstone also.
How do I know that?
Is because it happened. And your question is excellent. Why is it only sufficient? Why wasn't fire sufficient for the actions of the people of Sodom?
So God wanted complete evaporation then of everything.
My thoughts of Gehinnom, you know how you have the different levels of Gehinnom?
Yes.
So my thought is that it was a world, a deeper depth of wickedness. So I'm one of it's makes my thoughts go to the depths of Gehinnom, where there is no reincarnation, and that the extreme wickedness by punishment of brimstone and fire, the mixture of both. That's kind of where my mind went to. It kind of has something to do with Gehinnom.
I know when I was there in 86, when the country was still rather new, at least for tourists, when the bus stopped and let us out, I mean, there was salt on the plants, on the shrubs along the, it was a road then, it wasn't even a highway, and it was just like walking on sheets of glass. That's what I felt like I was walking on. It would crack. It was white. Now, in the 90s, when I was there, I didn't see that when we visited the Dead Sea area. You know, it was all cleaned up and modern highway, and even the tourist area was different. They had a cafeteria and a gift shop, and, you know, much cleaned up, not like the, to me, the raw level of seeing the salt. And I even brought a piece of wood back that was just covered with salt.
Well, the salt is used as a covenant, right? Sprinkle the salt as a covenant. But it also, in the opposite direction, it's death, because nothing grows in salt of that capacity. So, you know, it's kind of a right side, left side, but where's the ferret, you know? And I guess the Dead Sea is used for many things. I mean, we do need salt to survive, so it's a death and lifetime situation to me. So I'm having a little bit of problems. From one spectrum to the other.
One comment I wanted to make, Malka, on your connection of this brimstone and fire and Lot's wife turning into salt, that's related and connected to Gehinnom. I wouldn't argue with you that it's a good idea, but always remember there are, one of the aspects of Gehinnom is fire. We all relate to that. But there's another aspect, and that's ice. Because ice burns just as much as fire does.
Right.
The piece of ice on your skin, it burns. And Gehinnom, there is a Gehinnom of ice.
Right. There's several layers, but absolutely.
Exactly. And you mentioned it. You know, you're aware of it, but I like to bring out the clarity. So thank you. we are out of time, so tonight's class is a class on the Ari. And then tomorrow morning there is a reading of the Torah for the Aliyah, and hopefully we'll be able to make connection to some aspects of the prayers as well. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Hello.
Shalom.